Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Jillian Morgan, Aaron Layton,
Ghost,
Andrew Gray, Casey McCain, Crystal Trujillo, Emmy, Jeanette Murphy, Enza, Jen Robinson, John Collins, Kalisha Reeves, Kate, Kiki Newton, Stanton, and Valerie. Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Today we're covering Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which we all saw in theaters this weekend. And that's it. That's all we're doing. Mm-hmm.
That's all we're doing.
We all peeped it.
It's a nice return to form for us. We're reviewing single movies.
Ones that are new in theaters. We haven't done that in a fortnight.
An age.
Much longer than a fortnight.
Some would say in a second age or a third.
It's probably been fourscore fortnights.
Maybe, Lincoln, maybe.
I think it's been 20 sets of 2 weeks since we've done it.
Nah, so how long was fourscore and 7 years? Is that 87 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So a score is 20?
Correct.
Damn, he made people do math.
It was a different time when you had to make
four times 20 plus 7 years ago.
Well, there was a guy in the audience. He had an abacus.
Yeah.
And then he would signal to everyone else and then
Back then you made people do math. Nowadays, if you do a speech, the only math you have to do in politics is just 9/11. And then, there you go.
Yeah. We're talking about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And I just want to speak to the elephant in the room. And those of us that are tuning into this on YouTube are already well aware. None of us are black.
That is a fact.
Three white dudes doing their best to break down Black Panther Wakanda Forever. So there won't be, I don't say there won't be an iota of nuance here. We're going to do our very best, but just be aware of that we're aware of that. Like, this is a property that means a lot of things to a lot of people. And there's great representation in this film, and it's got a lot to recommend it. But, you know, I just wanted to call attention to that. Like, we're aware of that, you know, but we did want to speak on it. It's a big film that mm-hmm. we did see. We have thoughts, and we want to at least encourage other people to engage in the discourse about it. Right? Does that make sense? Does that sound good?
Yeah, this is kind of a fun sort of circle closing in on itself for us, because the original Black Panther was one of the first movies that we covered that wasn't Stranger Things.
Was it really?
I don't think it was the first, but I think it was one of, because I think the first one we did was Justice League.
Shortly followed by the Joss Whedon version, Justice League.
Yeah, the Justice League. And then, but we did a Black Panther recap years ago when that movie first came out in the theaters. And I think that might have been the first time we saw a movie collectively, the three of us together, in a theater when we started
ever?
This podcast. I think so.
It might be so. Andy and I, for our pod, used to do that. We would take the field mic that we used to make movies with.
We'd do it on the road.
Yeah, and in the car on the way home. And I think we had like 37 listeners back then.
But yeah, but
they loved it.
They had a
they loved it. But yeah, this is written and directed by Ryan Coogler. There's a couple other Ryan. There's one other writing credit that I can see. Joe Robert Cole as well. And then, yeah, all the stars from the original Black Panther back again. So what we'll do, if you guys are new to the show, we'll go through overall thoughts without spoilers, go around the table and just our original initial reaction without spoilers. And then we'll dive in deep afterwards mm-hmm. to our spoilery thoughts. Steve, a little petting your villainous animal over there.
Yes, she's a villain.
You start first. What are your thoughts on Black Panther Wakanda Forever?
Well, as I am wont to do, whenever I talk about seeing a movie in the theater, I always like to talk about the movie experience in the theater.
Sure.
I did not get to see this with you guys. I had to see it the next day. And so I got my ticket. And the only time that was really available was in theater number 6 at Newport, which is not a good theater.
Oh, is this the one you've had experience with?
Well, it's just one of the smaller theaters. Like, if I want to see a new movie, you go see it in Dolby, yeah, baby, right? Yeah, get them seats that move. Get that beautiful screen.
Dynamic sound, yeah.
Dynamic sound, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the theater that's like, hey, we put up a speaker, and I think we're running it off a DVD player. Not sure.
If everybody gathers around, you might hear it.
At least it's better than the Regal one, where there's, like, literally a dent in the screen, and they're just like, we don't care.
That's true. There's water coming in while you're watching it.
If you buy more popcorn, it's better.
Yeah.
What? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. We hope that the theater just gets full of popcorn farts and you become like delirious. But yeah, so the theater wasn't great. The sound mixing was really bad in this auditorium. Like it was honestly kind of hard to hear what people were saying in the movie, like especially if they were coming from the center channel.
Yeah.
Which was maddening because I couldn't tell you how many times, like, what did Shuri just say? I don't know. I know it's not a problem. I know it's not a problem with the actual movie. I know it's 100% the auditorium. And it was driving me nuts. But you know, it was a pretty packed audience. All the people around me were like really, really into it. And like all the things that were happening were really, really hitting them, which is unfortunate because this movie did not hit me like I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. When the first trailer for Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever came out, I was just amazed at how great of a trailer it was. I still think, like, I'll stand by it. Like, I think it's the greatest movie trailer ever made.
It is fantastic, fucking beautiful. Trailer.
It's so beautiful. And I think that trailer created an expectation for me in terms of when I went to see this movie. Like, I had an expectation of what it was going to be, what the main themes of it were going to be, how they were going to tackle this enormous, enormous and awful, devastating loss of Chadwick Boseman. And overall, this movie, I think all of the pieces to make it super successful and what I thought it was going to be, all the pieces are in there. It's just the movie is kind of a mess in terms of how it's put together, structured, shot. I don't think it's particularly staged well at all, which I think is a huge detriment to the actors who are doing so much heavy lifting here. All the actors are really crushing it in their individual roles, but they're being betrayed by the blocking and the scene structure of how things are being shot. And I think that's really, really unfortunate. But I left the movie just kind of somewhat bewildered because there were several choices. I'm like, why would they do that? That's such an odd choice to do. And like, I get it. Like, it's such an insurmountable task to essentially Ryan Coogler had the story written and then Chadwick Boseman passed away and he had to basically start from scratch and do a whole new thing. And I'm sure Disney was also like, hey, make sure you set up Ironheart as well. Mm-hmm. And so that is just an impossible task. And I think, you know, if you're looking at it from like the human perspective, he did a really commendable job of bringing all this together and taking this movie across the finish line with all the heartache and just tragedy that befell the production. But I don't necessarily think that the end product was a great movie, which is really unfortunate because I did have really high expectations going in and it did not meet them. And that's on me. But overall, I did think the movie was kind of a mess, which is unfortunate. Mm.
Andy, what about you?
Basically same. First off, yes, I also want to give big props to the trailer that also set an extremely high expectation for me. I was like, oh my God, they crushed it. And knowing full well that Chadwick Boseman had passed and that they had a pretty daunting task ahead of them to try to deal with that. I think that this film, as a tribute to Chadwick Boseman and in dealing with how do you carry on a franchise without the face of it, it's a masterclass. It did a fantastic job of treating this delicately, but also with the respect that it needed to have. And as far as like, hey, how can we possibly tell a story without him and still have it serve as a worthy successor to the original Black Panther film, which was phenomenal. And as well as carry on the, what phase are we on? Phase four of the MCU?
Yeah, this is this marks the end of phase four.
Which has been floundering. And I think, you know, that's no secret. How do we continue on, carry the things that we have to do in phase four, bring in Ironheart? I didn't know that. So I was like, who is this young girl and why is she being shoehorned into this movie? So I didn't know that that was a character that is going to be coming back later. So I was bewildered.
She's
by
getting her own show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to have a Disney Plus show.
Okay. That makes more sense. I was bewildered by her inclusion. And every time she popped up, I'm like, why is this girl in this movie? Like, it didn't make any sense to me. That makes a lot more sense, but it still doesn't help the pacing issues that it has. And more than anything, just like a lack of interest for pretty much any of the characters involved. I struggled to care about most of the motivations and most of the actions that were happening. When Lupita Nyong'o showed up, I was like, thank God, I fucking love her so much. Mm-hmm. And she did so much with so little in this movie. And I wish that she had been in it more. But it was overall kind of a mess, and that's a bummer. I thought that it had some absolutely batshit awesome costume design. Like the, what are the people from Under the Water called? Like Tandor?
Telecan is the place.
Okay, so
Telekinese?
Telecandonites. their costume design was fantastic. It was super duper cool. And I also liked the idea of it. They took the precious metal that the Wakandans have. What is it called? The
vibranium.
Vibranium, and they kind of made it like a story. It's a story about an international struggle for resources, and that's really cool. Because I remember when we were talking about in the original Black Panther review, we're like, they just changed the game, like the whole world. They're like, okay, we're going to share our resources with the world around us. How does that impact the day-to-day lives of everybody else? This is like the most technologically advanced civilization on the planet. And they're like, hey, we're going to start outreach programs. We're going to try to share with the world, make the world a better place. And I remember us talking about it and being like, that changes everything. And then where do you go from there? Of course, the governments try to step in and they want to try to fuck everything up. And so I thought that that was genius to use that as a plot point. But as far as like the plot points, the beats, it just didn't hit for me in a way that I would have wanted it to. Sure. What about you?
I wish that I loved the movie. Like I was over the moon about it.
Take two.
I wish that I was over the moon about it so that we could, have a better discussion, you know, but ultimately I was pretty bummed walking out of the theater as well. And I felt like I tried really hard to reconcile what I was feeling, because when I got home, a lot of my, my peers and stuff that were talking about the movie online seemed to really love this movie. And since then, I've seen quite a fair few that feel pretty similarly as well. But there's a lot of folks out there that just really love this movie. 10 out of 10, even. I've heard that said a lot. Wow. Best movie in phase four, which isn't saying much to a lot of people. I like Black Widow a lot, shit like that, right? So, and it's got some really, really like great representation. I love the whole idea that like the Mesoamerican plot line, and you know, they really drove home the idea of the long-term effects of colonialism and I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I love that stuff a lot. And I love how many strong, women we have in this movie. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think I got some criticism, 'cause I reviewed this online, like, you know, anybody saying like, oh, you must not have cared a lot because it was women that were focused in this, or that it was people of color centered in this. And anybody that would levy that criticism at me doesn't know me at all, because that's 100%. I was all about that. In fact, I think if I'd gotten more of that I was distracted by the attention that it put on setting up Phase 5 and the attention that it put on setting up Ironheart. And I needed more of those things. Mm-hmm. I think if it was an isolated film like the original Black Panther, I would have loved it.
You are entering spoiler territory.
You're bullshit.
And Ironheart, I like the character of Riri Williams. You know what I mean? I really, really do. Dominic Thorne did a wonderful job. I think the character's really cool. Mm-hmm. I just didn't need her shoehorned into this story that already had so much stakes and so much going for it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, one of the things that I thought this movie was going to be about, and, you know, go back, there was an episode a couple back where we talked about this trailer in depth, and you can hear, like, I was incredibly, I love the idea of, hey, these are all the characters from the previous movie dealing with this awful passing of, you know, King T'Challa, their Black Panther. And I thought it was going to be like all the women are going to come together and support each other. And the world is going to try to fuck with Wakanda because they think, oh, their leader's gone. We can fuck with Wakanda now. And then the women band together and kind of push back and, you know, they're stronger together for it. I thought that's what this movie was going to be. And again, there's hints of that in here, but I think what drives me nuts is, like what you said, they muddy so much of the plot unnecessarily for bigger Disney universe games.
Yeah. Like, look, don't get me wrong. I love Martin Freeman. I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Cut that whole thing out.
Didn't need them in this movie.
Cut that out. Completely.
And I know it's important to the plot that America is trying to cut in and get some of this vibranium, you know, just the way that and that whole, like, the United Nations meeting at the beginning. You could imply that or outright state that and just take them out of the movie almost entirely.
Also, I really think the plot point of the whole reason Namor, the whole reason Telecon and Wakanda are fighting in this movie is because they're after the scientist, Riri. And I don't buy that reasoning at all. Like, you could have had Riri in this movie very easily. She's one of the members of the Wakandan outreach program. Boom. I thought that's what they were doing when this movie was announced. I thought that's, she's part of the outreach program.
Am I being recruited? Like, you should be, but that's not the plot that we're doing.
Yeah. And then dude's like, no, we have to kill her because she made the vibranium device, the vibranium MacGuffin. It's like, guess what, dude? The government already has that plan.
Yeah, they can recreate that.
You don't need to fucking kill her anymore. It's the genie's out of the bottle. Yeah. Why is this a plot
point? That's not how technology works. Yeah, like, once somebody invents the iPhone.
Ah, you see, because she's 19 and she didn't take notes.
Yeah, it's all in her head. It's all in her head, baby.
And they hand wave that away at one point when they're in the garage. It's like, oh, I have a quantum realm key on my computer. No one can get into it.
Yeah.
If I lose my password, I got to invent another quantum key thing to get in there.
256-bit encryption.
Guess I got to burn it. I'm like, well, how? They have it. The government has it.
Yeah,
they
can reverse engineer it now, right?
They have it.
Tony Stark
built this in a cage.
The box of scraps.
The box of scraps.
So this whole, like, reason for conflict that's the linchpin of this movie just does not make any sense. And I think it's so unnecessarily muddy. And I really just did not like, I thought this was going to be a lot more like raw and looking inward and once into like the human spirit, into oneself and trying to moving on and getting past loss and everything. And again, that's in there.
Parts of it, yeah.
The very beginning, very end, not so much in the middle.
Yeah. And I want to stress again, Steve said it. I think Andy touched on it too. You know, Ryan Coogler had an impossible task.
Yes.
With the passing of Chadwick Boseman and Disney's demand that he further Phase 4, I'm sure, and further Phase 5 as well, like lead into other things. And so he had to juggle all of those things. A lot of people think that he hit a home run and did it. I just don't think so. I think that it muddied what he would otherwise have done. Mm-hmm. And like Steve mentioned, like there's a host of phenomenal performances in this. Angela Bassett crushed it. Lupita Nyong'o is one of the world's best living actors. Letitia Wright, even though she doesn't believe in COVID or vaccines,
she got to fight some people wearing face masks. Yeah. Movie, so everybody won.
That's right. Had a phenomenal. They had the things. She's like, oh, I hate you. Phenomenal performance. Winston Duke is one of my favorite people in the world, M'Baku.
Dude, he's so good.
I want an M'Baku spinoff so bad. I think that his performance is great. By the way, fun fact, Winston Duke and Lupita Nyong'o went to acting school together, I think at Yale. Wow. Sweet. So they have a history. They're friends. They wanted to be in movies like this together. Like, hey, maybe one day. And they were already in Us together. If you ever remember that movie? Did you watch
that? Yeah, that movie's awesome.
So anyway, Rita, I just think that's
fucking
neat.
Is a masterclass in that too. I keep throwing that word around, but it's true.
Yeah.
She's so good in that movie. Anyway.
You talking about Lupita?
Yeah.
I love Lupita.
In Us?
Oh, in Us. Yeah. Lupita, like I said, Lupita's one of the best actors working.
I wish Lupita was the new Black Panther. I know that.
Dude, we said the same thing. We thought they were going to do like a surprise twist at the end where Shuri was like, you know what? I'm better as a leader. I'm better as the scientist. I'm not the soldier. Here, you do it. And then she lays down on the bed and I'm like, no.
Yeah, 100% yeah. Thought she was going to have her drink the stuff. Oh, by the way, this is supposed to be without spoilers and I don't trust that we did that at all.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll throw it in.
Yeah.
I'll throw it in.
So we're doing spoilers now?
We're doing spoilers now.
Okay. Yeah, I 100% thought Lupita was going to drink it and I would have loved that plot twist.
Here's my case. And I isn't there some like ancestral reason why it has to be within the family? Is that true?
Well, it always has been.
Yeah.
Keep your thought. The ruler is supposed to also be the Black Panther. We find out in this film that is not the case because at the end, M'Baku challenges for the throne, even though Shuri is the Black Panther. So we're going to have, I think, next time you see Wakanda, a case where the royalty is not the Black Panther. So I think they could have done it to where, hey, his baby mama is the Black Panther instead of his blood or descendant, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, you say your thought first. I got another thought.
Well, my thought is I think Lupita is her character, Nakia, is much better of a Black Panther choice because a big part in the first movie was she was the one that was kind of showing T'Challa, hey, the world needs us.
Yeah.
The world needs this because she's going out to Haiti and doing all this like outreach stuff and helping people who are less fortunate, who don't live in Wakanda. And so much of that spirit was imbued into the Black Panther from her character. So I think it makes more sense to have her kind of elevated to that position to kind of take up his spirit. And also she's literally the love of his life and has his kid. And
yeah.
Like, I think that makes more sense than Shuri, who's a much better sidekick character than, than like the main, I think Letitia Wright does as good as she can in this movie, but I just think that it would be much better served if Lupita Nyong'o was the,
I agree. Black Panther. I agree. And can I just say that it was genius writing? Because the whole time it's like, their whole like impossible problem to solve is like T'Challa doesn't die this way. Or like in the comics, that's a character. Like T'Challa is a character. We've only done one movie and a couple appearances in like, and broader, what's the word? You have like a
crossover?
It's like 7 or 8 ensemble and ensemble films. He's been a member. And now the actor has died and we can't recast the character without like, I feel like, insulting the memory of Chadwick Boseman. Right. But also like, this is a huge character. What do we do? T'Challa means a lot to so many. It's fucking genius to have, why is Nakia gone for 6 years from Wakanda? And they just kind of dance around that. And she's like, oh, I just couldn't be around for any of that. It would have made it real. And I bought that. I was like, okay, that's fine. No, she was out having a secret baby and that baby's name is T'Challa. So now he can grow up and we still have T'Challa. So they honored Chadwick Boseman. They took a break from it, but they're obviously clearly setting up for when the kid grows up to take the mantle again. And so we'll have the character of T'Challa as Black Panther. Mm-hmm. That's fucking genius.
Still could.
You know what I mean?
Still could.
That's great. Still could. I'm saying that's what they're going to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I thought you were saying that's what they should have done. And I was like, everything you just described can totally slap.
100% what they're going to do. And I think that that's a brilliant solution to that problem that I had not considered until that credit scene.
Yeah,
so that's cool. And now a word from our sponsor. And this week, it's Wondery. Go deeper into the canals of Numenor, the mines of Khazad-dûm, and more with the official The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power podcast. Host Felicia Day. Otherwise known as Nerd Royalty.
The queen herself.
She's from Critical Role. She was in The Guild. Yeah. She was in The Magicians, Supernatural.
Dr. Horrible Sing-Along.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Horrible Sing-Along. Deep cut for only the coolest of cools. Mm-hmm. Yep, she's the host, but also has special guests to provide an inside look at the groundbreaking series and what it took to bring Middle-earth to life. Each episode is a recipe for strong gravy. That's what Disa would say.
She absolutely would.
And features exclusive interviews with the series showrunners, J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, including... the very first full breakdown of the incredible season finale. Felicia also goes behind the scenes with the cast and crew to bring you jaw-dropping stories and Easter eggs you won't want to miss. We're talking Mithril. We're talking Elven lore, Valinor, maybe Numenorean. We don't know how deep they go. Hopefully not too deep.
But you can listen to it greedily. Yeah, all right?
Please don't delve too deep.
So rattle your dags, quick sticks, go subscribe to that RSS feed. Do it now.
Absolutely. Watch The Rings of Power on Prime Video and listen to all 8 episodes of the official The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power podcast for free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app now.
I remember we spoke at great length about how Chadwick Boseman was just the perfect choice to play Black Panther, especially now with this movie coming out in hindsight. Because I talked about how he has just this very unique sense of quiet charisma about him. Because he's a very quiet presence on screen. He doesn't get very loud, but he's the coolest fucking dude in the room whenever he walks into a room. And you just are captivated by every single look he has and word he says. And he leaves such a big void to be filled, right? And
like he had such an earnestness about him and everything, every performance that he had. And everybody who talks about interacting with him says he was just the nicest person. Mm-hmm. And I just rewatched the original Black Panther. I'm, getting a little teary thinking about it, but it's tough, it's terrible. And to keep it a secret, that he was even sick, just to kind of protect everybody else's feelings. And he wanted him to treat him differently and all that shit. And anyway.
They actually kind of acknowledged that too in this movie. They said that he suffered in silence forever long. And then by the time that he asked for help, it was too late for her to be able to do it.
And the whole idea that even Wakandan medicine was not enough to figure it out. And that alludes to the fact that he had resources in this world, Chadwick Boseman, and it just cancer is a motherfucker, man. Mm-hmm. And so I loved all of that. I wanted more of that. I don't need you to set up Phase 5. Don't take this movie and kind of cheapen its effect. And I'm glad so many people didn't find that to be the case and they're getting so much from it. I'm just some fucking white dude for sure. But that's how I felt. Really lean into that. Let them have this movie,
This movie to really reconcile with, because this awful thing, because the actors, the crew, they're all going through that. But, the audience is also, this is a shared thing with the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, it really just rubs me the wrong way that they use this movie as a way to further.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Plots that no one, you did not need that.
Keep the machine going, man.
Even the first Black Panther, that movie had very little to do outside of its world. You had it was an insular story about Wakanda and the people within it. And that's one of the best things about it. It's not trying to you remember Captain America? Oh, you remember? I think they threw in Bucky Barnes at the very end. And then, what's his name? Smeagol. Was in Age of Ultron.
Claw,
yeah, he was in Age of Ultron, but he's a Black Panther villain, canonically. So it made sense that he'd be in there. Yeah.
So Black Panther series has had the best villains, and I think they still followed through with that. I like Namor.
I wanted to ask what you guys thought about it. So
I love the idea because my favorite villains are always understandable. Where you're like, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't care if you won. You know, like those are my favorite villain, like Vulture from the original Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I like his storyline, right? Like he's getting shit on by the government. He's poor. He's just doing what he can for his family. Like mm-hmm. that's great. I kind of want him to win. Fuck Spider-Man, you know?
Even Thanos kind of made sense. You know?
Sure. Thanos had an argument, you know, at least.
What did you think of Namor, Andy?
So I think that the little flippy wings on his ankles is pretty weak sauce as far as like superpower. But as far as like it being him being like a centuries old, what was it supposed to be? Aztec? That he was,
it's Mesoamerican. Mesoamerican. Yeah. Mayan.
Okay. As far as him being like a centuries old Mayan, kind of like God figure to, complete underwater civilization who is actually benevolent in most regards.
Trying to protect his people.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that he was, phenomenal. I think that it was pretty weak. The way that he tries to pursue his motivation was pretty awful to me. Like I want that scientist, like you're old enough to know better than that. I feel like,
and that's the thing, because of all the shit, we didn't get to spend any time with Namora and Atuma, like two characters that were alongside Namor mm-hmm. that, you know, would have been great, you know, or spend more time in Telecan. Like we get that one Pandora tour, where it just looks like James Cameron lent them some footage and then that's it. Like, oh,
just people swimming up to smile at you and moving on. Like, hey, it's a nice place here.
You know, he was watching this movie and saw the blue people jump out of the water and everybody clapping. And he's like, are you fucking kidding
me?
Oh, now it's cool.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah. I made this possible. Like, sit down, Jim.
You better not be watching this in 3D. I will lose my shit.
I thought that he was a very effective actor. I thought that they did a great job. He was kind of a bummer, like power wise, like this is how we introduce mutants, right? Like mutants are now part
of the first mutant.
And so I guess I would have liked to have seen a bit more power from him.
And canonically, I'm not a huge superhero comic book reader, but canonically he's like super strong. I think up there, it's like with Superman type mm-hmm. stuff, right? Like, like really, really OP character.
Gotcha.
They're clearly not going that route in the comics or in the MCU, but
he's still pretty strong.
He's also supposed to be, it's supposed to be Atlantis, not Telecan that he's from.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And he predates Aquaman by like 3 years. Gotcha. I think his mm-hmm. character was created in like 1939.
Yeah, Aquaman's a ripoff of Namor.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So just for anybody that's that cool. doesn't know that.
I do love like the implication of his character. Like they use a siren song, you know, they swim up to boats mm-hmm. and sing and
which that first siren song scene was very effective. Like it was, that music was really haunting and creepy.
They were jumping off the
and
boat.
Lake Bell. I love that actress, her like trying to escape in the helicopter.
Is that who that was?
Yeah. And like,
oh, shit, I didn't recognize
spinning her around in the air and stuff. Like that was a dope way to introduce that character. And little bits of the action scene.
Yeah, Lake Bell, Dr. Graham.
That we got from him when he's like kind of like jumping around through the air and like you see his little flippies flapping to like
the first time we see him float around, out, I was like
I don't know. There was something so off-putting about it.
Like so kind of creepy about
when he like slowly would raise out of the water and you see him, like I was kind of like, I don't like it.
Don't touch me with your foot wings.
I'm uncomfortable.
How much do you think he charges for feet pics?
For real,
dude, he would crush
with those wings.
He would crush in that world. But yeah, I thought he was really, really great. I wish we saw, like you said, I wish there was.
But he has to
far
stay,
more of that.
He has to stay moistened.
He does.
He needs to keep moist to get his powers.
So he can breathe air and water. The
correct.
Other people can only breathe water. Do they correct. Have superpowers as well? Apparently they can do the same thing.
They're very strong. What I didn't understand was like when Okoye, played by Danai Gurira, who's amazing.
She's so good.
When she like kills three of the blue people on the bridge.
They just get up.
They don't die. They get up. And like, that was like a thing where she was like, what the fuck? Is that just supposed to be like, they're very hard to kill? Or was there some kind of healing factor to their...
I think it's, they're just hard to kill because the blue plant is basically a heart-shaped herb.
So they all have the strength of the heart-shaped herb-ish.
Yeah, adjacent.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
it's a heart-shaped herb adjacent thing. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Okay.
It took me a while to catch on that they only appeared blue when they're not in the water.
Oh, really?
Because I was like, oh, some of them are blue. That's fucking weird. I wonder what the hierarchy is.
Oh, it swims right out of the water.
Oh, that was definitely a blue one. And I'm like an hour and a half in at this point. Yeah.
I thought there was going to be a much, and maybe I missed it, but I thought there was going to be a much larger plot line because when he's taking Shuri on the tour of Telecon, he's like, I gave my people the sun, and they show that building that opens up and the big sphere comes out and it's like a
whole vibranium thing.
And I know in the trailer there was a really cool shot of him like silhouetted by that orb, but I don't think that shot's in the movie itself. Mm. So I thought like, oh, that's going to be the thing.
Yeah.
That's going to be like the power thing. Like, oh, the sun's going to blow up or something. No, it was just the thing we got.
Yeah. I think it was
it turns the lights on.
It turns
the
lights on.
It wasn't like a Chekhov's vibranium thing. It was just meant to show like, this is how much vibranium we have. This is how integral it is to our society. And this is why it's so important that no one ever finds this, mm-hmm. Right. Which is why it's weird. I brought you here. Ugh. Which was really, I thought they were going to do like an enemies to lovers trope.
So did I.
I was picking up some vibes.
That would have been very interesting and compelling had she like loved him. I was
feeling the connection.
Yeah.
It was there.
And that's just because of Tenecuerta's beautiful eyes.
He's a gorgeous man. Mm. Oh my God. I could watch his back rise. I couldn't take my eyes off so often.
Mm-hmm. Off his chesticles as he rose from the water.
With his little green briefs and his tiny little wingies.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, we got to dry him off. And
love
I'm like,
no. Love
the
wingies.
Keep him moist. Better not dry him off.
No, sir. He's got to be wet at all times.
Like I am watching
please,
him.
Please.
Gorgeous man. How cool man. Was his costume?
It was
like
really
with the
cool.
headdress and stuff.
Yeah.
God,
very cool.
That was badass.
And the ears.
When they're like, they're wearing vibranium armor. I'm like, no, they ain't. Like, he's got a little vibranium necklace. That's pretty much it. But like, so kind of wasteful as far as battle design, but still very cool looking.
But if you're like a hard to kill group of people, what the hell is armor?
Well, I mean,
to you?
It's going
to
weigh you down in the water anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Know,
so
they didn't seem to be.
It's actually the strongest, lightest weight metal. On the planet,
other than Namor, when they were showing everyone in the in the water city, I was like, oh, they're not that much better swimmers than
they got those jet stream things.
Do you think before he took Shuri on the tour, remember he was like, it's so far deep, it'll crush your bones and boil blood. Oh, don't worry, we have a suit for that.
Yeah.
Do you think he was like, as she was getting in, he was like, hey, by the way, I ripped Lake Bell out of that
for real.
Right, or whoever the diver was. I like painfully
was that their
her.
Suit?
I think that was their suit that they it
did
took. Seem,
yeah, that one did look like one of their suits.
Yeah, because the one dude just went missing. They're like, where'd he go? And they're like,
well, then he
go?
Took the lady too.
Mm-hmm. So they got two of them suits.
Two suits.
Yeah, you know? They both could have gone, but he just wanted to take Shuri.
He's like, we got it. I'm not sure how it works, but anyway.
Yeah, they don't have any idea. She just dies.
She's like, it's filling up with air or water. Sorry.
Do you have to turn it on or I don't know. I can breathe. I don't know if you remember. Bye.
A couple, like another thing that I like these, this is going back to like pieces that I think are actually really, really good to have in the movie.
I keep just picturing Shuri exploding.
Dude, for
in
real,
the suit.
Like her eyeballs would pop out of her head.
And he gets, shit. Gaze upon, I brought the sun to my,
oh shit. well, guess we can kill that scientist now.
We're going to war. yeah, you're right. The whole thing was flimsy. The scientist thing was flimsy. And the whole idea that he was withholding all out war made no sense to me because like, oh, I'd rather have you as an ally. Like why? Like, you know what I mean? Like when they attacked, they destroyed the Wakandan capital and he's like, I'll give you 1 week to decide to be my ally.
Yeah.
That's the most James Bondy from the 60s.
Yeah, that was so
dumb
weak.
Shit I've ever
yeah.
seen.
Yeah. That was
why?
Really bad.
It's really cinematic to give them a week to prep Batman style, but you wouldn't do that. You know, like an hour tops.
And then they killed off Angela Bassett. And I don't think they needed that. Like,
yeah.
I feel like you could have just made this movie about dealing with T'Challa's death and you could have had all these characters go through this and work through it. I don't know why they hey, remember that really emotional thing we all went through together as an audience and crew at the top of the movie? Well,
let's do that
it's
again.
Been an hour since then. We probably forgot. Let's kill another main character to elicit the remotes. Like, you already have that there.
Well, I feel like they were trying to establish like the same beat and motivation that they had done for T'Challa because they kill off T'Chaka in Civil War, right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
It's like, okay, now you have to be king and also become the Black Panther.
Well,
and
the
stuff.
Vengeance and has consumed us line is T'Challa's line from Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
He says that to Baron Zemo at the end.
Nice. Nice pull.
So I did like how it went kind of dark with Shuri's motivation.
They have to kill Ramonda to set up Shuri's, not only with the vengeance thing, but the whole idea of who's going to be the next ruler is a huge plot point, right? So I understand that.
No, I get it. I just feel like you just don't need that. Yeah.
When I saw the 2-hour, 41-minute runtime, I was like, wow, they're really like letting us languish in this morning of T'Challa. We get to just sit with these Wakandan characters. That's amazing. And then
that's not what it was.
We cut to Martin Freeman running, jogging.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That was the whole implication there is like what I got from it was like that's white people music,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, yeah, for sure. 100%.
And I was,
no, when that started, my like, first thought was
fuck
like,
yeah. And I started dying laughing.
That was badass.
Anyway, like there was a lot. I think what I said in my main review, and I stand by that, is like there's so many parts of this movie that I love. And it's such a corny, like, movie critic douchebag thing to say, where it's a cliche to say, I don't know if it's ever more than the sum of its parts. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how I feel about this movie. Like, there's so many parts of it mm-hmm. that work really well. If I can isolate and talk about something that I love unabashedly and can gush about it. But as a whole, really disappointing, especially compared to the quality of the first Black Panther. And I think Ryan Coogler is one of the best living filmmakers that we have. And at this point, I just want him to be freed to go do other things, you know?
Like a couple of other things that I like about the movie that I think are good is I like Shuri's story about being a, you know, scientist in this very technologically advanced world that is also very spiritual, and her just having this struggle with faith.
Yeah.
And then how when she finally takes the heart-shaped herb, she is wanting to see her mom. She wants to see T'Challa. She wants to see her dad. But instead, she sees Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, that was dope.
Cool twist.
Yeah.
And I really, really like that scene. I think that's probably the strongest scene in the movie is the two of them. And he's like, oh, there's a reason you called me. It's because you want vengeance. And you said you want to burn the world. And that's what I want to do.
I'm your guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm your dude. I'm all about the burning the world thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna burn it all. That's what I said in the last movie. And so that was really, really cool. There's just so many other things where I'm just like frustrated by. I don't know if this was so out of left field for you guys, but when Angela Bassett goes, she like, I'm struggling with
when she goes to Haiti.
When she essentially fires Okoye.
Oh yeah,
sure.
I was like, where the fuck is this anger coming from? Because that line delivery she has is in the trailer, and it's probably the best part in the trailer where she's like, you know, have I not lost everything? Such a powerful performance. Mm-hmm. Like every time I've watched that trailer so many times, and every time she says that, I get weepy because I'm like, fuck, that's so strong. But it comes up in this scene.
Yeah.
And it seems so out of fucking left field and so out of character to be like, all my problems are because of you.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Well, I like that scene because she doesn't know who these fucking people are. Dude had wingy feet mm-hmm. and now he has her only living child, right? So he took her daughter and she didn't want her daughter to leave. And Okoye convinced her to let her leave. And she has not forgotten that Okoye supported Killmonger over her family.
It sounds like
it all comes pouring out because somebody's like, hey, maybe you're being too hard on her. And then she snaps, right? Like, so I fully, as someone who snaps a lot, I felt like that was a really good scene.
No, but it seems like to me on paper, yeah, you can, it sounds like someone's like, we want this reaction. Let's work backwards, not let's lead to it. Cause they haven't shown us that she's upset with Okoye at all in anything. And she's been like, oh, and Okoye calls her mother all the time. And they're like friends. There has never been, this is an example of telling rather than showing, where it's just like, I'm going to lay out why I'm mad at you. We haven't seen any evidence that you were mad at her at all up until this point. So this really powerful, heartfelt performance just feels hollow and not, it just didn't feel true to the character or the scene they had, or the world they'd already created. And so when I was in the theater and I'm like, I can't wait till Angela Bassett goes off with this fucking monologue. And it was there. I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. I think it sucks because you like the character of Okoye so much.
I do.
That
she's awesome.
You're like, you're sad that she's the receiver of the Angela Bassett ferocity. Mm-hmm. But also you could read the scene in a funny way, like as somebody who ran a restaurant for many years as well. And you've been a manager too. Sometimes when you really just letting an employee have it and you realize you're wrong halfway through, unfortunately, you have to commit to save face.
They're fired.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you can just go home for the day. And then someone else is like, hey, man, I think that's really wrong. And you're like, oh, actually, it is. Because I really need them for the 5 o'clock rush. Yeah. You can go home too if you got something to say. You know?
Shit.
Anybody else?
Anybody else want to go home for the day?
So maybe that's what that was. Like, she's like, fuck, you're right, but I got to save face. I can't punk out now. Everybody's going to think every time they lose one of my kids, they're just going to get slapped on the wrist. Mm-hmm. Plus, it freed her up to be one of the angel thingies.
Oh, which, by the way, guys, the armored suits in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cyrax, fucking ridiculous. Oh, my God. That Ironheart suit, maybe the dumbest suit I've ever seen in cinematic history. When that thing showed up, I was like, what the fuck 1970s anime bullshit is this?
Yeah, dude.
What Power Rangers villain of the week is this? This is what Marvel's doing?
Zordon pops out of nowhere.
Rangers. There's a new mess. What was the city that the Power Rangers are in?
I don't remember.
Fuck.
I was trying to think of the lady's name that always like threw the little dolls in the fire and was like,
oh,
and
shit.
Then the big lion guy was always Rita.
Rita Repulsa. Rita.
Repulsa. That's right.
Yeah.
And then her like
the Rangers.
Her like lion friend, the pet who's always like, oh, sorry, Rita.
Is it just Lion-O or Goldon? Nah.
Goldon?
Gold something.
Goldar?
Goldar. I think you're right. Goldar.
Oh, no, I did not know.
And then there is Alpha. Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, 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 ay. Anyway, this is not a
you
Power Rangers
podcast. You
guys
remember a lot about Power Rangers.
I watched a lot of Power Rangers, damn, my guys.
When are we watching The Secret of the Ooze? When's that coming out?
Patreon.com/streaming.
Or is that Ninja Turtles? What's... Oh, yeah, that was Ninja Turtles. So the Power Rangers movie, the main villain was named Ooze. That's where I'm confused.
I just remember them doing like skydiving at the beginning of that movie. It was pretty sweet.
Uh-huh.
And they like land on surfboard or like snowboards and stuff.
I never saw like the rated R fan-made Power Rangers film. It got taken down pretty quickly.
Yeah, I remember that.
I heard it was really good. I never got to see it.
It's fine.
But anyway, I think we're pretty much wrapping up with our Wakanda Forever coverage. Ultimately, you know, I think we were all, I gave it a 3 out of 5 stars. I think there's a lot to recommend about this film. A lot of the pieces of it are very strong, but it just failed in a lot of big ways for me. And it sounds like for us, mm-hmm. I'm glad so many people are loving this movie. Absolutely. Totally. I wish mm-hmm. it all the best. We always do. We want to love stuff.
Yeah.
I love the first movie. I will be revisiting the first movie many times. I might watch this one again just to make sure I feel the way I feel about it, but I think this will be one of the ones I don't watch a ton from the MCU. And that's most of the ones that came out this year, unfortunately. So,
yeah, like what was Thor Love and Thunder was the last one.
Yeah,
right?
It was Multiverse of Madness, Thor Love and Thunder, Black Widow, No Way Home, I think is phase four.
Eternals.
Shang-Chi is great. I love Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi's good.
I got that on 4K for like $10 today, guys.
Solid.
It's one of those ones.
You know, hot take. Eternals is probably in the better half of movies that came out this year.
Eternals is having a resurgence in critical reviews.
Yeah, because like, Eternals is a pretty good movie. It's just the most
different.
Know, it's different.
Way, so it doesn't even seem like it's part of the
Where's
MCU.
Where's my Tony Stark?
He's in a cave.
He's in a cave with a bunch of scraps.
By the way, if you're new to the show and you like it, we're doing a Harry Potter marathon, which will start in 2 days, I believe.
Wednesday.
And you can go to patreon.com/streamingthings to figure out all kinds of other stuff that we do. We've got a thriving Discord community that is honestly warms my heart on a daily basis and keeps me up. It's just a bunch of friends. Every time I open the Discord app, I'm like, friends? My cold, lonely heart just gets warmed immediately. You can also follow us on Twitter at StreamThingPod. And you can email the show with your thoughts on Wakanda Forever or anything else at StreamingThingsPod@gmail.com. Please let us know what you thought of the movie. And we'll be happy to read that on air and stuff as well if you're down for that kind of thing. So I think that kind of wraps up our coverage on Black Panther Wakanda Forever. It's good to see you two again. Love you very much.
Yeah, love you.
That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming. Here's all the new patrons that we got in November.
New.
In the Try Before You Deny, man, category, we have Emmy.
Thank you, Emmy.
New to Marty B's VIP section, we have Carl DiMartino and Sean Kerrigan.
Oh, we know where the party happens in the VIP section.
Mm-hmm. In the Chocolate Pudding producers, we have Laura Hardwick, Adam Jett, Jane McMillan, Katie, Alexandra Cordova.
Good luck.
Silja Hiljet Skatchim.
Nailed it.
Very sorry. That's obviously Icelandic, maybe?
Maybe.
Or Norwegian, maybe?
Maybe.
Anyway, sorry for butchering that, but I tried really hard. I think it's ruder to not try. That's my opinion. Yeah,
try before you deny.
Yes, try before you deny. What if Silja Hiljet Skatchim is a little girl, man? Cheyenne Bragg, Aaron Carr, Christy Ellens, Aaron, Toby Sands, Keenan Chu, Victor Weaver, Tina Gomez, SJ Dog 21, Kaylin Swift, Sharon Linden, Josh Seidel, Zoe Schubert, Andrew Diaz, Jada Haley, Nick and Aaron B.
Thank you, Nick and Aaron B. and everyone else you said. I don't know why I specifically said their name.
Mm-hmm. And in the Friends Don't Lie producers, we have Megan Stolarski, April Palmore Sullivan.
Thank you so much, and Friends Don't Lie.
And we've got some people who upgraded.
What?
Newest to the Try Before You Deny producers is Jeanette Murphy.
Hey.
And recently joining Marty B's VIP section is Jacob Schlier and Trisha Bueller.
This section is open to all.
Bueller. Trisha Bueller. I'm sure she's never heard that joke.
Never at all.
No, never. There's no way in hell. No one's ever been that clever.
Now she's going to hear it 4 times this month at least.
So thank you to everybody. Woo!
Woo!
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.